Welcome to the Better Questions podcast, where we wrestle with hard questions and seek to ask better ones. Today's question comes from Roger. The question is, when is it okay for a Christian to lie? If you were hiding Jews during the time of Nazi Germany and lying about the fact that they were in your home, would that be considered a sin? Well, this is a really good question and a hard question that I think we need to wrestle with a little bit. It brings up the question of ethics. What is a lie? What is the truth? What does it mean to tell the truth in a situation like the example used? There is some biblical precedent for that. You can look at the midwives or the Hebrew midwives, right? They lied about how fast it took to give birth in order to protect the babies. Or even Rahab, she lied in order to protect innocent lives. And you can point to times where the responsibility of making a difficult decision like that, where either you say something that maybe isn't true, as in there's no one in my basement, but by doing so, you are allowing a guilty oppressor to essentially take their life. I mean, this is a really hard ethical question. I think the question beneath the question here, the better question, if you will, is what is the Christian ethic about truthful speech? Bonhoeffer speaks to this pretty significantly. Obviously, he is famous and controversial because he, you know, had an assassination attempt on Hitler, which brings up all sorts of ethical questions, which we don't have time to dive into. But Bonhoeffer argues that the obligation to tell the truth is bound by the particular relationship that we have with the person we're speaking to. This is like a covenantal approach to truth-telling. And so he uses the example in his essay, What is Meant by Telling the Truth? This is an essay he wrote back in the day. He uses this example of, well, when we talk to our children, parents talk to their children, the child is often true, like tells the truth to the parents, whereas the parents oftentimes choose what to say for good reason. They may not always tell the truth. Parents don't tell them everything, and they shouldn't, because children are not ready to understand. It might frighten them. It might trouble them. If they knew everything, it would probably cause them to panic. And so there is a time where we may not tell our children everything. Now, it doesn't excuse, we shouldn't lie to our children. We should be honest with them. But on some level, every parent, I think, can echo it. There is a time where maybe you don't tell them everything. And that is because that relationship is bound by a covenant, a parent and child. So you think of it in relation to Bonhoeffer, who I'm sure he's thinking in relation to the Nazi government. Okay. Speech between parents and child is very different between speech between a government and a subject, right? Bonhoeffer helped Jews escape. And in order to help the lives of Jews escape, he had to conceal the truth and tell lies to the governing authorities. And in his argument, his ethic, he argued that he doesn't owe the same kind of truth to the ruling authorities that he would owe to, let's say, his parents. One might say that he did not believe he was bound by a moral rule to tell the truth to those who would use that truthful speech to destroy innocent life. So it's a kind of an argument for the greater good in a sense. Another example he uses to illustrate this perspective is he has a scenario where a teacher asks a child in front of the class whether it is true that his father often comes home drunk. Now, the child's in a predicament. To ask that in front of a whole group of students puts him in a really difficult position. It is true, but the child denies it. And so the teacher's question has placed him in a situation which no child is prepared to be put in. he feels a need as a child to protect his family, right? This, even if it's true, this is a secret that he must preserve. In fact, the teacher itself, according to Bonhoeffer, is the one held liable because he's the one who put a child in this difficult, almost impossible situation in order to answer a question that would put his family in jeopardy. So what he argues is that according to the measure of what the kid could possibly know to do in that situation, the child acted correctly. The blame falls on the teacher for not protecting the innocent. It would have been better for him to ask privately or perhaps to engage the parents. But in that situation, this all comes down to relationships. And that's, you know, you can look at Bonhoeffer actually points to the two different ones that I mentioned earlier, the Hebrew midwives, Shipra and Pua, lying to Pharaoh in order to save the lives of male Hebrew babies. That's, you can find that in Exodus, early on in Exodus. I can't tell you off the top of my head. Or Rahab, who is a prostitute, lies to protect the Israelite spies. You have in Judges, Jael deceived Sisera in order to kill him. Or even Elisha, who deceived the Aramean army, leading to their capture. All right, these are examples that we have of a biblical precedent. Now, I do think there's a question here too. Whenever we talk about ethics, does the New Testament and Jesus arriving on the scene change the way in which we think about ethics? For example, what about violence? When we see all kinds of Old Testament violence, and then it seems as though when Jesus comes on the scene, he has a new way, a mode of being in the world that says to put down the sword. That says if you are, if someone hits you, to turn the other cheek. We see this ethic that is a very different approach to violence. So the question is, well, then maybe when Jesus comes on the scene, then our ethics change, which I would push back on a bit. There's a compelling book written by Greg Boyd called Cross Vision, which is it's a shorter version of his longer book, which I don't know the title of, but it's like 1,000 pages. This is a summary of it and an easier read. It's called Cross Vision. And the book's guiding question is, how does one reconcile Jesus' life of peace and nonviolence with the violent texts of the Old Testament, many of which portray God as generating violence? It's a very fair question and a difficult one for us to wrestle with. What Boyd does is really interesting. Boyd attempts and does a really compelling job of doing so, that the texts in the Old Testament and all their ugliness actually point us back to Christ, and in fact to the crucified Christ, which then illuminates God's amazing love, sin-bearing character. And so he calls it the cruciform. I know we're getting a little bit into the weeds here, but my point in sharing that is I don't think the ethics change as much as the way in which we view Old Testament and the ethic and character of the Christian faith. Maybe the lens is different. Not so much that the ethics actually change when Jesus arrives, but that our lens for viewing it is always viewed through the lens of the crucified Christ. And so when it comes to, as we were talking about the original question, well, what about, when is it okay to lie? And perhaps the question I'll leave you with is, do you have a moral obligation to protect the life of an innocent person? Or is your moral obligation to tell the truth to a guilty murderer or someone who is intending to murder? It's a hard question. There's a term for this in Christian ethics called graded absolutism. And it asks the question, in a situation like the Nazi question, is there a hierarchy to sin? Meaning, is to kill someone, to take someone's life, a greater sin than to bear false witness or to lie. And often the sort of gut reaction that we return to is, oh, sin is sin. All sin is the same. There's no hierarchy of sin. But I hear that statement all the time, and that doesn't seem to bear weight in the scriptures. In fact, we even see Jesus talk about how anyone who were to lead children astray should tie a millstone around their neck. Like, to me, Jesus is saying that sin is one of the worst. And so what I don't buy, I get behind the heart of the question of all sin is sin. Yes, absolutely. And it's all about what's on the heart, right? Jesus points to, well, if you hate your brother in your heart, then you are committing murder. And so it's all about the heart. But the idea that one sin is somehow not greater than another just doesn't seem to be actually a biblical truth. Now, I'm open to pushback on that. If you disagree, please write in. Again, send your questions in to betterquestions@eastminster.org, or if you have pushback. Again, this purpose of this podcast isn't to have all the answers, it's to wrestle with these questions and to seek to ask better ones. So send in pushback, send in questions. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next week. Grace and peace.